Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desire to live for you. The mighty things you do, I worship you, 'cause in spite of all my misery and all the things I cannot see, I know I can call out your name. My you.
Good morning. Today is June 17th, 2019. This is Josie's Inspiration, and I am Josie Hopkins. And on June 17th, 1954, 65 years ago today, I was blessed to come into this world for a purpose that I didn't know then, and I still am exploring now. But what I do know is that it was a blessed occasion for Corrine Clayton Crawford and Joseph Roy Crawford, my parents. They wanted me. They pressed hard for me through a miscarriage, or should I say a stillbirth of my brother before me. And then on that glorious day that I can only imagine from the stories that my mother tells me, that as she lay in a small hospital here in Richmond, Virginia, called Community Hospital, as the nurses tried once again to hold her legs closed until the doctors arrived, which had caused the stillbirth of my brother a few years before, she flung her legs open wide so that I could be birthed. And so I'm going to try to hold it together today, but I'm grateful to be 65, and I'm grateful especially because at the age of 64, she passed from cancer. And here I sit, three-time cancer-free, having been victorious over death, over cancer, over a brain tumor. Glory, glory, glory be to God. And so it's a celebration. It's a gratitude day. It's a day of faith. It's a day of love. It's a day of joy. And it's a day of peace. And I bring you this message today from my heart and from every fiber in me. Okay, so I'm going to try to get this together. So, Joseph's Inspiration, that's this show. And this today would normally be about the essential oils, A to Z essential oils. I'd be telling you about my favorite oils. But what I'm doing right now is I'm opening up a bottle of To Be Loved essential oil and just smelling it because I know that I am loved. I know that I'm loved because Jesus loved me first. God gave me this life, and it is through his love that I am still here. And so I am excited about turning or completing 65 years because I'm not turning 65. You know, this is the culmination of a 65-year journey, and tomorrow begins the 66th year. So I'm very conscious about what time means and what days are, but I'm just excited. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited that my show fell on my birthday. What a blessing. You know, God has amazing things for each of us. And, you know, he has an amazing sense of humor because when I stopped and I thought about my show and I thought, wow, it's going to be on my birthday. What oils would I talk about? And then yesterday as I sat still and quiet, having had a beautiful weekend with my couple friend, Linda and Lee Marshall, and my husband and I, we all went out for a pre-Father's Day dinner on Saturday. And, you know, just thinking over the blessings of my life and what has transpired and what is yet to come, I just know that today is going to be a beautiful day no matter what. And so I'm starting out with my thoughts about my mom, Corrine, and the lessons that I have learned from her that carry me through today, that have carried me through my cancer journey, that carried me through life, and what it means to me to have had her as a foundation. And even though she has been gone from me now for 38 years, almost a full 40 years that she's been gone. And what an interesting number, because I was born when she was 38, and it's been 38 plus years since she left me. And as I prepare for my daughter's upcoming birthday, because my daughter was 3 when my mom passed, you know, I feel that my experience as her daughter taught me, first and foremost, unconditional love. She taught me pride. She was a woman who always told me to sit up and look out straight. Don't hang your head down, no matter what. You know, and so through my life, as I close my eyes, I can see her standing tall and strong, even through her cancer battles. As she battled cancer, she never gave in to the disease. First of all, because before she was diagnosed, she told me if she was ever diagnosed with cancer, I was to not tell her. And so when the diagnosis came about, I began to find how I could help her through the process without divulging and saying to you, Mommy, you have cancer. But I know she knew. And I know in her knowing, she knew that God had her and that he had blessed her. Because the one thing that was important to her and me was for her to be a grandmother. And so through her cancer treatment, we would leave her treatment and we would go to W.T. Grant little department store or G.C. Murphy department store, and she would buy little trinkets for the upcoming baby that I carried. My mother was a seamstress, magnificent seamstress, and so she loved to sew. And so she made the bassinet cover for my daughter. We didn't know initially if it was going to be a girl or not, so she made it in a beautiful green and a beautiful mint green with flowers. But we actually did kind of know, because as she got that diagnosis, she and I took a trip together. And we went to the beach, and we checked into a hotel, and I was pretty pregnant. And we got our blankets and put our bathing suits on, and we went down to the beach, because I learned the beauty of water from my mom, from my elders, from the time we were little. I was little. We would board the train in Richmond down at Main Street Station, and we would ride the train to Buckrow Beach, then a segregated beach. But at this point in my pregnancy, we went to Virginia Beach. And we got our blankets, and we laid out on the blankets, and we just sat and talked. And I remember going into the water and her jokingly saying, if it's a girl, it's saying, Mommy, Mommy, let's get in the water, because she knows how much I love water. But if it was a boy, she said, if it's a boy now, it's saying, where's my daddy? No, no, because my husband at that time didn't care so much for water. He does now. But we lay there, and we talked about what it would be like for us to be 3 generations, grandmother, mother, and daughter. And I named my daughter then Erica, not even knowing that it was a girl, but I began to call her Erica, and that's her name today. So I learned first from my mother to stand tall through all things, because I'm blessed. And so today I looked up a couple of scriptures that just woke me up this morning. And as I thought about them and as I thought about the words that God was showing forth to me, I realized that first Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So cancer, there is no victory in you, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper, says my Lord. And I stand in that. I stand in that because even in her final days with cancer, my mother still smiled. She still had positive things to say. And she still resonated that regal beauty that I see each day as I walk down my steps, because there her picture hangs on the wall in my foyer, in my hallway, so that I greet her every morning. I feel her presence. I feel her love. And I know that I am blessed. And Jeremiah 29:11-12 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." And that's just what my life has been. I call on him and I pray to him. And sometimes I give him some lofty expectations, like with my cancer diagnosis. You know, I tell people that cancer was the answer to my freedom, because I prayed and I asked God to deliver me from a crazy job. If you know anything about social services, no matter where you live, it is designed to help people in need, but it is a chaotic and crazy place. And many of the people that are there don't have the sensitivity or the love for God's people that they are put in place to provide services for. And so I worked in social services, but every day was a struggle, not because of the job, not because of the people that we serve, but because of the employees that I supervised. And they made it so challenging. Even once I had an employee say to me that every day they would get together to try to figure out what they could do to piss me off because I was too nice. How dare people want to bring misery into someone else's lives? God taught me to love first him, to love his son Jesus, to love myself, to love my elders, and to love all his people, regardless of their circumstance. God is love. And if I am to be a child of God, then I must be a child of love. So I prayed to be removed from that crazy job, because I had dreams, I had goals, and I felt that I couldn't pursue them in the negative environment that I worked. And so as I prayed and prayed, the cancer diagnosis came. It didn't immediately resonate with me because I was too busy being bitter about the diagnosis and trying to figure out, what had I done wrong, Lord? You know, I worship you. I serve you. I stand in awe of you. How could I have this diagnosis? What did I do to deserve this? But by the second diagnosis and my stem cell transplant at that second diagnosis, it became immensely clear. Because when I got quiet and I stopped trying to question him and challenge him, and I was just still, I heard him say, "Child, what did you ask me for?" And I, like a smart aleck kid, said, "I asked you for my freedom." As I lay in my bed, unable to get up easily on my own, he said, "And what do you have?" And immediately that moment, I realized that everything I had asked him for, the freedom I had asked him for, the assurance that my children's lives would not be disrupted if I chose to become an entrepreneur, that my husband's burden would not be increased because I wanted to walk away from a crazy job, that God had given me everything I asked for, always has. But in that moment, I realized that through cancer, he had given me the freedom I desired, with income as a result of disability and Social Security to maintain my lifestyle, my home, and my family without missing a beat. Trust in the Lord always. Go to Him always. Lean not on your own understanding, because we don't have, as my mother would say, we don't have the wherewithal to know and understand how God does what only God can do. And then Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And so I sit today in awe of the glory of God. I feel chills through my body because I just can't even imagine someone having a life without knowledge of him. And I sit in gratitude, forever grateful for the blessings that he has placed in my life. To even be on this radio right now, on this network, on Facebook, on the radio, phone, wherever you happen to be listening, to be here is to know God. He gave me Josie's Inspiration many years ago. And when Josie's Inspiration was birthed, I did it on local AM radio. I did it on local FM radio. I did it on Blog Talk. And then when my grandchildren came along 15 years ago, when my first grandson came along and I began the process of being a GMA and doing what I know my mother would have done, which was to be available for the grandchildren, because that's all she wanted. She wanted to be a grandmother. Now, she's a grandmother because my brother, William Albert Randolph, has three beautiful children. And he's passed on, but I got a call this morning from my niece, Sheila. And she and I are like peas in a pod. Her birthday is in 2 days. And I have a nephew, William Jr., we call him Junie. And my niece, Brenda, who is going through cancer as well now, she had that beautiful experience of grandchildren from my brother, William Albert, or Bubba, as I called him. But she longed for me to give her that experience as well. And so for the 3 months that she was able to experience being grandmother of Erica, I saw the joy. I saw the love. I saw the person that gave me the understanding of what unconditional love was. I saw her triumph through chemo, through radiation, through so many things that her body experienced with that cancer diagnosis, pancreatic cancer. But one thing I never saw is I never saw her despondent. And so as I have gone through 18 years of cancer diagnoses, I've had to call on that strength that my mother had, that faith that my elders instilled in me, and the love of God to know that no weapon formed against me would prosper. And so cancer is a word, but how you receive it, what you do with it, makes all the difference. It's your mindset. Initially, I believed that I was going to die because my mother had died and friends had died. But God showed me, no, my child, there's a greater purpose in you. And so Joseph's Inspiration is just a process of me expressing who I am. And I am inspired daily because God loves me, because he gifts me with words, with thoughts, and with ideas, and with gifts that only he can give. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And he continues to prosper me through Joseph's Inspiration Radio Network. He has blessed me with a second daughter in Kayla, who I have never seen face to face, but I know that as she goes through this journey with her mother having cancer, that God placed me in her life and her in my life for a purpose that she and I continue to experience and explore. By his wounds, we are healed, and I stand in my healing. And as I inhale my to-be-loved essential oil, I love my oils, and I believe in my oils, because before we had all the pharmaceutical medicines, before there were all the things that the doctors began to prescribe, women were healers and caregivers for their families and communities. Further back in history than I know, women were expected to give birth, nurture, heal, protect, provide for, and spend their days steeped in the tradition of the wise women before them, caring for themselves and their families, and often their entire communities. And they did it using herbs and essential oils. Women had still rooms in their home where they would prepare potions for the healing of their communities. And by the stripes, by the wounds that our God, that Jesus experienced, Lord, thank you for sending your son. God, thank you for saving my life. Thank you for Joseph's Inspiration. Thank you for my healing, my blessing, my family. Thank you for showing me that you never forgot me or forsake me. Thank you for letting me know that as your child, I can live this life victoriously, not as a survivor of cancer, but as a victor, walking in faith and walking in love. And today, I thank you as you listen to me. I made it through the tears, and I'm excited. I'm excited to celebrate 65 years of life, 65 years of knowing my God is a deliverer. My God is a healer. My God Almighty can save, and he does. Thank you, Kayla. Thank you to Joseph's Inspiration Radio Network host for your trust and your belief in this mission, in this vision. And I encourage anyone who's listening, who in your heart you know that there is something greater that God is calling you to do, don't delay. Start it today. This is Josie with Josie's Inspiration. It's June 17, 2019, and I celebrate June 17, 1954, the day of my birth. Glory be to God, and bless you, and thank you for tuning in. Amen. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Moving and storage.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to Rev. Lydia Speaks. Thank you for joining me on the Josie's Inspiration Network. Let me start by asking you a question. If I gave you the choice between resting and having anxiety, which would you prefer? Well, it's a no-brainer as to which one I would choose. Well, I think you would choose the same. At least that's what I would hope. Because we do have a choice, and yet so many people are still so agitated and worried or in just straight stark fear about so many things in their lives. Maybe they're more afraid of the peace they don't know and choose to keep, no matter how painful it may be, the fear they have come to be used to feeling, or they've become accustomed to the feeling they get when they self-medicate in order to numb themselves against the anxiety and the pain. Not knowing how to free yourself from this pain creates a vicious cycle, and the longer you delay in finding and eliminating the root cause, the harder it becomes. Let's talk a little bit about rest. Now, rest is defined in a lot of ways. The first one is to cease from movement. And that's a big problem for most people. It seems like people think they must be in perpetual motion, even though they're just spinning their wheels and getting nowhere. But to make themselves feel worthy, they have to be doing something, no matter how minimal or how empty. And another definition is to be supported by or to lean on. These are only a few of the definitions given for the word, but they all seem to point to the fact that you release anxiety or stress or any form of worry by the act of resting. Now, it says to lean on, and that's a very interesting concept. But how do we know what or who, if anyone, is strong enough or who is willing to let you put on them all of the angst you feel? And if they did, do they really want to help or just want to get in your business? The Bible tells us that if we cast all of our cares on God, then He will give us rest from all of our worries. And if you are a believer, then that's what you try to do. Now, notice I said that's what you try to do. Because here is where anxiety comes into play. The Bible doesn't tell you how to do it. It just says, do it. Now, that's a bit like walking someone through the technique of swimming in your living room and then driving them to the beach and tossing them in the ocean. Yes, if you read the Bible enough, you can see all the people of faith and all the great things they did and received because they just stuck it out. I believe that true knowledge and communion with your higher self, the God of you, has to be taught first. And when you've lived through something and could do little more than hope that it comes out right, that in itself is anxiety at its best. But when you've been taught that everything God is, you are also, because God Himself says so, and you have a right to the best because you are His child, then you're coming from a place of power, like a small child holding the hand of an adult they trust. They know that nothing will happen to them. Knowledge of self, your true self, is the key to overcoming. Hold on to the fact that there is something inside you that knows what to do, what to say, how to act, or even react if necessary, and draw confidence from that. That fact alone comforts and sustains. The fact that there is an energy within that wants only the best for you and is using the body that you're in as a means to obtain it, that's the reason we're here, to remember who we are and to teach others how to remember. And in that act, that energy of our remembering together becomes so strong, we push all the worry right out of this realm. And that allows the kingdom to come. And the will of positivity to be done, coming out as it is from within. We always knew that the kingdom of heaven is within. We just have to acknowledge it for it to manifest. Now, I've heard several things said about faith. And one of them is that faith is more than an objective statement. We do not have perfect faith while any subjective contradiction deny the affirmation of our lips. And what does that mean? That's a fancy way to say you can talk all you want to, but you have to walk your walk and talk your talk and believe everything you say. Today, do this. Look for the good. Prepare for the creative spirit that gives substance to your faith to provide evidence of this substance in actual fact. What you see, what you believe is what you get. And then bend your energy to meet that good and to rejoice in the anticipation of this good. Your faith acts through an immutable law, and it is not possible for it to fail. There's no way. You see, there's no fear in love, and God's love is perfect, and perfect love casts out all fear. Okay, so if I'm telling the truth about that, why do we have so much worry over what is to come with all the trauma and the drama in this world and what it's going through? I don't know that answer. But what I know for sure is that we are to pray without ceasing and to pray for those who think they are in power, the ones who think that they alone are running things, when in essence they're just being greedy for accolades. And remember this, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. There's a complete power that is over all. And as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, if we opt for rest over anxiety, then we would do well to remember that and the very first line of Psalm 62. Psalm 62, David was admonishing us to trust God above all worldly things. It says, "Truly my soul waited upon God, from whom comes my salvation." If we can manage to believe that in times of desperation, that God truly is our refuge, then we surely will not be moved. The truth is that the humanity in us is always at odds with the Christ nature of us. Just as soon as we think we know God's voice, His instructions, that's when the confusion starts in the form of the inner chatter. I call it the monkey mind chatter, telling us things that sound like what we want to hear God say, what we would like to hear God say. You know, the things that sound easy and make perfect sense to the carnal mind. The problem is, it's not from God. We need to learn to wait on the Lord's instruction and spend enough time with Him to understand and hear and know His voice. And I know sometimes we get tired of waiting because it seems like God has us going the long way around. But the same thing happened to the Israelites. And listen to this, even after freeing them from their captivity in Egypt and leading them and feeding and caring for them the whole time in the desert, for some, it still wasn't enough. The reason they wandered for 40 years is because God had to let the strong-willed, "I can do it better by myself" generation die out before He could clearly be heard by those whose hearts had come to rely on Him. But they were afraid of disappointing their elders, so they really couldn't show it. When you've been through the school of hard knocks for most of your life and are used to people treating you poorly, it takes a while for you to believe and trust someone who loves you, and when they say that they love you, just for you, not what you can do for them. They have to develop a track record of telling you the truth and doing what they say they will do when they say they will do it. And even at that, you're always looking for the least little thing to point at and say, "I knew it was too good to be true." When the real truth of the matter is that when you look for a reason to distrust, one will appear. And it's mostly because you don't feel worthy of anything better. You have become what I like to call comfortably uncomfortable. When things are at stress level and you have something to complain about, you're in your comfort zone because you have had to do without so long. When the time of plenty does come, you tend to act as if it'll be taken away at any moment. So you tend to hold on tightly. That was the reason for God providing daily for the Israelites, to show them that He knows what you need even before you do and has promised to always provide. He gave them manna fresh every day, water when they were thirsty, and they still complained, "I'm tired of bread, I want meat." So He provided quail. And all He wanted them to do was listen to His instructions of not hoarding. "I will always provide for you. Eat your fill now. There will be more tomorrow." Now, we're talking about doing all of this in a dry desert, and still people were not impressed or satisfied. We have to learn that God is not a man that He would lie. All He wanted was their trust and obedience. That was the condition of His covenant. It's very interesting to me that God never broke His covenant with man, but man has no problem breaking his part of the bargain. The very first promise God made was in Genesis 3, when He promised Satan, the snake, that he would always crawl on his belly from then on, and there would be enmity between Satan and all the seeds of man. In fact, He said, "Man will crush your head," and that He would bruise man's heel. Now, for the woman's part, she would have to bring forth birth and life in pain, and she would want for her husband, but he would always rule over her. And man, for his part, would have to work hard to grow food to eat because God cursed the ground. And then they were thrown out of the garden, and angels were placed around to guard them from coming back in. And since they now knew that they were naked, God made clothes from animal skins. This can be seen as the first spilling of blood for the atonement of sin. In Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your weary souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is a very beautiful analogy. Do you know what a yoke is? You see, a yoke is a wooden beam, a very heavy wooden beam, attached to a harness, and the harness is attached to the necks of two animals like oxen, cow, and it enables them to work together in pulling a heavy load. And I mean back-breaking work, like pulling a wagon with excess weight or plowing. And they had to work in tandem. They had to move together so their strength was increased. Otherwise, if they decided to pull in opposite directions, it would be painful. But Jesus promised that no such stress and strain would be required of us in order to come to him. If we followed him, and to be yoked or joined to the Christ nature, I can tell you, is restful indeed. I've tried it the other way. But that's only if you follow through with your part. And that's to say, give your worries over to him and leave it. I can remember times when I prayed for an answer to a problem and waited what I thought was patiently. But then my anxiety overcame my faith, and it only took seconds for me to make a wrong decision. And sometimes the wrong decision takes a long time to overcome. And sometimes the wrong decision can cost you something much more important. Anytime you decide to take it back from God, you're actually saying either he doesn't know how to handle the problem or you don't trust him to handle the problem. Either way, that sets you back to the beginning, and you have to start your wait, your patience, and your faith all over again. If you've ever been a parent of a severely sick child, and I have been, I mean sick to the point that the doctors don't want to speculate the outcome, all you can do is give it to God. And I tell you from my heart that that is a pain that leaves you weak. Leaning on the promised words of God is all you have, and they become a lifeline. Now, I'm blessed to have had a well of times to pull from, in which I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, and God led me back to life. And each time, I didn't think those trials were a blessing at the time, but that's why it's important to trust God with everything, big and small, so that when something happens that would otherwise destroy you, you know his history, you know the kind of God he is, and you already know that you're in his hands. And when you make the choice to follow the timeline of God, you have to stick it out. Because his timing is not our timing, but he is always on time. And as my grandmother would say, he is never late. Even down to something as simple as when I was a young child, I mean really young, maybe 5 or 6, there was this toy, just a dumb little toy, no more than a bracelet that wrapped around your ankle with a long cord that came from it and a ball with a bell inside of it at the end of this cord. Basically, all you did was hook this thing to your ankle and you got it swinging around and you jumped over the ball with the other foot and you could even have friends stand in front of you and you could jump together. It was the dumbest thing ever, but I remember thinking I would just die without it. And there was the promise that I was the first one in the neighborhood to have it. So I asked my mother for it. But when I was finally told yes, after some times of trying to convince her that as stupid as this thing was, she should really spend her money on it, I asked for it and she said yes. And I ran out to tell all of my friends that I was getting this coveted toy. It was called the Jingle Jump. But they didn't believe me. And I remember thinking, I remember being so shocked. How could you doubt it? After all, my mother had never lied to me, and I had a track record with her. Now, it took a week, and every day my friends would ask me, did I think I was going to get my toy? When I was going to get the toy? They bet I wasn't going to get the toy. And then one day, a week later, my mother got off of her bus, and she was carrying this large bag. And in this bag was several things, even groceries, and my Jingle Jump. I think my friends got to her before I did. They saw her coming. And we were so excited, we took turns and jumped until we had to go in for dinner. But the point is, I never gave up hope because of my mother's track record. Now, my mother was a regular woman that worked extremely hard for every cent. And that was quite a long time ago, so I can imagine, I think the thing might have cost $10. But that was $10 less that she had to put to something that she really wanted, to pay a bill or do something else for the house. But do you know, she sacrificed. Now you think of the track record of Jesus. Think of all the things he's done, the promises he's kept, and the trials that he's blocked you from, the doors that he shut that you really did not appreciate at the time, but come to find out, he shut and locked those doors to keep you safe. He did all of this just for you, and I didn't even get to the part yet about how he shed his blood to save your life before you even knew you had a life, before anybody even knew of you. He did all of this. And he asked nothing more in return than love, trust, and obedience. Now I think I can take that yoke, and it certainly is no burden. So whenever you actually feel like you're so anxious, you're crawling in your skin, just take a deep breath. Take one deep breath. And when you exhale, say, I am. Take another deep breath in. And when you exhale out, say, God's child. Now let's put them together. I am God's child. I am God's child. And the same way we earthly parents would do anything that we possibly can for our children, to let them rest a little easier, to let them sleep a little safer at night, to let them know that they are heard and they are appreciated and they have value and they count. That's what God does for us if we let Him. All we have to do is remember. Every one of us has something that we can put our finger on and say, you know, God did this. I might not have had all the money I wanted, but every bill got paid. There's food in the refrigerator. And I heard a saying that the man is truly blessed whose children run into his arms when he has nothing in his hands to give them. All a father wants is love, trust, and obedience. And since all we want is love and to have someone to trust, that works out quite well. When I end, I always tell you to relax, release, and relate. Now, I was going to ask you which one you thought was more important, but I think they're so tied together that we can't possibly choose between the three. So I will tell you now, relax your mind, release your cares, and to relate to the fact that you are God's beautiful child. Always, always was, and always will be. And His promise is, if you remember this, I will remember you. There is nothing that you could ever want for, even something as frivolous as a ball on the end of a string. God will even give you that just to make your soul happy and to let him know that you appreciate it. Just look to all of the times that he saved you from yourself. God can't lie to you. So don't you lie to yourself in thinking that you have to do everything alone. This is the time for us to trust God. In the midst of all the things that are going on in this world, you have absolutely nothing to lose by trusting in God. Even if you've never tried it before, I ask you to try it now, please. Our very existence depends on the fact that we know who we are, whose we are, and who we can really trust. And there are several people that would try to come up, and we call them false prophets, and they'll tell you one thing. Remember, if it sounds too good and too easy for your carnal mind to be wrapped around, then it probably is. This is Reverend Lydia, and I would like to tell you to relax, release, and relate one more time and trust in God. Until the next time we're together, be blessed.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.